Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Latinos sit out the election instead of saying we're going to punish our enemies and we're going to reward our friends who stand with us on issues that are important to us. If they don't see that kind of upsurge in voting in this election, then I think it's going to be harder. And that's why I think it's so important that people focus on voting on November 2nd.
We don't mind the Republicans joining us. They can go come for the ride, but they got to sit in back.
My fear is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader. Because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold. I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
Well, the radical left is stealing votes wherever they can. President Obama heads into midterms at the lowest approval rating of his presidency. His hateful rhetoric is getting increasingly bizarre. In the last few weeks, the president has said the Republicans will have to sit in the back. He means in the back of the bus. That was a racially charged statement. He should be ashamed of himself, but I don't believe he has any shame. He says Latino voters have to punish their enemies. This is a man who's unifying, huh? This is what you brought to America. This is what you radical leftists with a college education think is the right way to go, telling people to sit in the back of the bus and that the Latinos should punish their enemies? He said more hateful things. He said that economic woes bring out a tribal attitude in Americans. What do you fear will be the result of Obama using such hateful rhetoric? There's another issue. In Nevada, dirty tricks. A voter received a ballot with Harry Reid's name already checked. In North Carolina, a voter tried to vote on the machine and was given only Democrat choices four times in a row. All across the nation, stories are coming into us about how the Democrats are stealing elections. Do you want to live in a country that has a corrupt Venezuelan-style dictatorship? What have you seen in early voting that makes you suspicious about the tactics of the gangster Democrats? Now look, Obama is heading into midterms at the lowest approval rating of his presidency. People have finally caught on to the great swindler. Now, the fact is, while he may have done a great job of energizing his illegitimate base, every poll says he may not be able to convert any independents who have yet to decide for whom they will vote. My audience consists probably of, 40-50% independents. Currently, 67% of Americans overall have a negative opinion of Obama. One-third have a positive opinion. He is at a low trend and a downward trend, but it gets even more interesting. One-third of Democrats and one-third of liberals also give the great imposter negative ratings, as do 7 in 10 independents. 70% of independents give the imposter negative ratings, and 6 in 10 moderates give the imposter negative ratings. Americans who give the president the highest positive ratings are those with a postgraduate education. That means brainwashed in college. A college education, that means brainwashed into sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And those living in the West, meaning those brainwashed into sex, drugs, rock and roll, and gambling. On the other end of the spectrum, almost three-quarters of those with a high school education or less, and two-thirds of Midwesterners and Southerners, give the president negative marks on his overall job. So in other words, if you haven't had a college education and you can still think, you know that he's a great imposter. If, on the other hand, you've gone to college, in fact, the more college you have, the more you like this man, except for me. I have two great master's degrees and a PhD. I've written 25 books, and I'm telling you, the guy is a lifetime stone-hearted Marxist. All across America, Democrats are already in the process of stealing your votes. One case is very worrisome. In Nevada, a voter by the name of Joyce Ferrara, she has a name, said that when she went into vote for Republican Sharron Angle, her Democratic opponent, Senator Harry Reid's name, was already checked for her. In Houston, Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee, remember her? D. Houston, violated election laws when on October 19th she entered a polling place. She walked to where the voting booths were, looked for the poll watchers, greeted voters there before being asked by the presiding judge to leave the area. I guess she doesn't know much about democracy. In Houston, Texas, at least four non-citizens, meaning illegal aliens, have been registered to vote. Registered to vote. Now, here's the topper. In North Carolina, a man said he pushed the button to vote Republican in all races. But the broken, shall I say, rigged voting machine screen displayed a ballot with only Democrats checked. He cleared the screen. He tried again with the same result. He then asked for received help from election staff. They pushed the button twice, and only Democrats would come back up. Where is the FBI now that we need them? Now, what are you going to do about this? What action will you, the American citizen, take to get your country back from this gang? Will you stand ready to report any voting irregularities that you see, and who are you going to report it to? The same gang that is going to be doing this? Will you speak up loudly and refuse to be silenced by leftist poll workers? Will you carry your copy of Trickle Up Poverty into the polling place? Because I'm telling you right now, the left is using every and any dirty tricks they can to steal this election. And the dirty tricks keep on coming. Play some rock and roll. I'll take some calls. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com.
I'm writers and critics.
That's the wrong song for this break. Take it out. No good. See, the cadence is wrong. The slowness is wrong. Put Rammstein in. If I were picking songs, if I were merely a disc jockey, I would play Rammstein right now, right after that diatribe, because it would match the energy of my opening, even though I just came from 14 dental x-rays. I have double, triple Ever-Ready batteries in me. Luckily, I'm an immigrant son. Luckily, I have old world blood. Luckily, I'm a throwback to when men were a little more bold and a little more clear thinking. Luckily, I just had 14 dental x-rays and I'd eat some glue in a thing in my mouth to make a mold. God, it was worse than Chinese food, I'll tell you. Even the Rammstein is wrong today. Let's start all over again, guys. Give me a Rammstein with a little verve. Let's start it again. While the people are calling a phone number to talk about stolen elections, why trickle-up poverty is essential reading, bookstore horror stories, Obama speaking hate to Latino voters about white people and others, Obama using this creator in the Declaration of Independence. Still can't find that sucks to turn it on. I'm not in the Rammstein mood. Play Rodeo by Aaron Copland. Let's see if that makes... Maybe it's the dental stuff. I don't know. Nothing sounds right in the ear. This is a business. If you don't have the right ear, you can't do a show. So you'll have to forgive me till I get in the mood. I'm sorry. 14 dental x-rays was worse than Chinese food in San Francisco. Oh, God, is this delightfully wrong. Off. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. Off with your record. Off with your record. Well, we'll just have to go cold. Let's go to Florida. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Doc, how does it feel to be the only one out there that can find these small bits of puzzle pieces and put them together for us so that we can see as not very well scholared people to see what the whole picture is?
What you're saying is I take all of the disparate elements and put them together for you. Is that more or less what you're saying?
How come you're the only one out there that can do this? You know, you listen to people on Fox and... You know, they get bits and pieces, but I mean, it sounds like you're the only one that's able to see the whole picture.
I don't know why they don't see the picture. I think that some of them do, but they're not allowed to go to the limits that I do. I think they have to hold back for political reasons on some of the networks who have some pretty bright people on them. But I think as an independent, I'm allowed to speak to my audience as though you're my friends and as though we're standing around in a coffee shop and speaking together. I mean, the truth is, if anyone studies what is going on, they can put two and two together and come up with what's going on. You know and I know we have the most corrupt, divisive administration in American history. You and I both know that this is like a gang that's taken over America. You and I both know that unless we throw them out in a number greater than 50, they're going to continue this charade. We don't even have anyone supporting us anymore. With all of these reports of... Obama's dirty tricks and machines being rigged. You'd think the FBI would send a strike force in right away and stop it, wouldn't you? But there's not one word coming out of the FBI. Why is that?
I wish I knew. I mean, it's just pathetic.
Well, I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty, which is not pathetic. Stay on the line. Bad news for Dems, rain forecast for Election Day. Political experts say the rain will especially help Republicans this year because the conservative base is motivated to win back control of Congress. They should finish the sentence and say that welfare recipients, who is the base, who primarily is the base for the Democrats, and TV workers never go out in the rain. Because after a night partying till 5 in the morning or smoking dope, you don't want to get your loafers wet. It's as simple as that. Savage's Trickle Up Poverty is essential reading. Harry Reid lied to feds about sham marriage to Lebanese man that protected immigration with... What? Did you read this story on michaelsavage.com? An aide of Harry Reid married a Lebanese national who was the subject of an Oklahoma City Joint Terror Task Force investigation. Did you know any of this? That's what they're trying to keep from you? That Harry Reid had an aide who lied to the federal government about a sham marriage she conducted to a Lebanese man who was under investigation by an Oklahoma City Joint Terror Task Force investigation. This is like a mystery novel now. The whole Sharon Angle, Harry Reid story now takes on different flavors, does it not? Especially when you read that the voting machines are being rigged against Sharon Angle. It's very, very surprising. Or is it so surprising, knowing how Al Capone ran Chicago? Brian in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Greetings, Dr. Savage. Just a story from the Obama land here and trying to purchase your book at a local national bookstore.
Yes.
I noticed that the national chain had your book on the top five book list, so I went into the store, and I couldn't find it anywhere on the shelves, and went to the computer and was typing it in, and it said, likely available. So one of the associates came over to me and asked me what I was doing, and I said I was looking for the book, Trickle Up Poverty. He said he never heard of it and told me that, I said it was on the top five list on your website. Why isn't it, out here in the store?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, what kind of book is it? And I said, it's kind of, political humor, kind of, but there's a lot of truth to it. Then he says, oh, if you want political humor, he led me to John Stewart's new book.
Well, I never heard of Trickle Up Poverty is number three on the Barnes & Noble bestseller list last week again. So was this Barnes & Noble or Borders?
Borders.
Well, I was getting more reports of this kind of behavior from Borders than anywhere else, but don't worry about it. I'm still up there. Stay in the line. I'm sending you a free copy. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We have another report coming in that's going to really make you sick and almost crazy. The illegitimate, in my opinion, illegitimate communist Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco has thrown out Arizona's requirement that people show proof of citizenship to vote. It's enough to make a strong man weep. The illegitimate communists in a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals had the nerve to bring in Associate Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who is no longer on the Supreme Court. They brought her in temporarily by designation, and she joined another radical leftist, Judge Sandra Ikuda. And what they did was they threw out a voter-approved mandate from 2004, which was pretty simple, which said that you must show proof of citizenship to register to vote. These two illegitimate, communist, backstabbing, anti-American Harridans, Sandra Day O'Connor, you thought she was gone? They brought her in to sit on this court, just like in Venezuela, just like in Cuba, kangaroo courts all over America. And her and Sandra Ikuda, another fine American, said that Arizona has no right to demand proof of citizenship to vote. Now, how can anyone listening to this show, anybody, liberal, conservative, independent, think that it's illegitimate to ask for proof of citizenship to register to vote? If I had the power, I would arrest Sandra Day O'Connor, I would arrest Sandra Ikuda, and I would try them for treason. But I have no power. I don't even exist. I, Michael Savage, am non-existent. I'm a non-existent man. It's true I exist sufficiently to be banned in Britain. Apparently I roiled the Brits, or shall I say I roiled the royals sufficient to be banned from their superbly wonderful clean country. And I've roiled now the powers that be in this country sufficient that my name is never mentioned. And yet, I will tell you, if I had the power, I would arrest these two women for crimes against America. How in the world can anyone stretch any by any logic and say that a law voted by an entire state of people saying that you must have proof of citizenship to vote is illegal or unconstitutional unless they themselves are illegal and unconstitutional? Well, I've made my point. Read it and weep. Get sick. This is what your ancestors died for. Your ancestors died so that Sandra Day O'Connor, brought in as a kangaroo court judge, and sits next to a so-called circuit judge, Sandra Ikuda. You could just imagine this prize's background. You could just imagine the background of this one. And these two women have the nerve to say to all the people in Arizona, you have no right to demand that people show proof of citizenship, and they do it days before an election in order to make certain that the illegitimate communist socialist Chavez Castro party of Obama prevails in the elections. Las Vegas, Betty, tell us what's going on in Las Vegas.
Well, it's been reported about a week ago when we first started the early voting. They came out in Summerlin, which is like on the west side of Las Vegas, and they said the machines there were acting up and that they had some problem with them because Harry Reid's name kept coming up.
I wonder why Harry Reid's names keep coming up. I guess they're as reliable as the slot machines in Las Vegas.
No, I think the slot machines are better.
Well, I don't think there are three cherries coming up when Harry Reid's name is mentioned. You're getting a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Three cherries to you.
Savage.
Judges in California on the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiel's. In fact, they brought in the retired Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, extremely left-wing, retired from the Supreme Court. They shopped her into this court specifically to say that a voter-approved initiative in Arizona from 2004, which merely said that you needed to show a voter ID in order to become to register to vote, these two illegitimates, and I use that term specifically, these judges are illegitimate. Sandra Day O'Connor had absolutely no business sitting on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And this other whack job lawyer, whatever her name is, how in the world do you want to live in a country where there are no voter ID, where there's no voter IDs? Is that what the men died for? How in the world could you liberals look at yourself in the mirror? I know most of you are drugged. I understand that. I know most liberals that I've ever met are either constantly on Prozac. Every last one of them knows that they're no good inside. They have no center. Guys like Larry David, that type of guy, they act like they're full of confidence, but inside they're hollow men. They're the empty men that T.S. Eliot wrote about, and yet they walk around like they have utter confidence. Inside they're nothing, because they know they're garbage. They know they're the filth from the gutter that their parents raised them in. They know that they hate the country, and they know there's something wrong with their hatred. I know them. I've met them. They stink. They run Hollywood. They run the whole media. They walk around with such pomposity. Then why are almost all of them on drugs of one kind or another? Why are they all in and out of rehab all the time if they're so confident? And yet these people are so powerful in this country that they can take an unknown senator from Nowhereville and turn him into the president. The other day, one of these characters had the nerve to say that he fears the Tea Party will get a charismatic leader and suddenly we'll have Hitler again. In other words, he's saying that any white male who loves this country is secretly a Nazi. He took the mask off the reality of these guys. In other words, all the men in World War II who died that we could all be free, they were really secretly Nazis to these people. These yellow-bellied, American-hating vermin, I hate their guts. You want to talk about anger? You want to talk about why I'm enraged? I know their mindset. I grew up with them. I ran from them like running from a plague. I ran as far away as I could get from these anti-American haters. I went very far. I lived in Hawaii. I lived in Fiji. I lived in Tonga. Then I settled in California. You can't get away from them. Wherever you go, there they are. And their candidates, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein. That's their candidates. Jerry Brown, that's their candidate. A wonderful prize. A wonderful prize for California. Jerry Brown. Just what the doctor ordered. Like we have no idea what he's going to give us. And are the Republicans any better, really? Whitman, they bring up. She spends $120 million of her own money. And she's trailing a used broken tire with patches in it. A guy that anybody could have beaten who had any legitimate campaign that stood for something. What does Whitman stand for? Nothing but Whitman. That's why she's losing. Yes, she's not physically appealing. I admit the double chin doesn't help her. She's not a very appealing looking person. And looks count in politics. But Jerry Brown isn't exactly a movie star. He's about as shocking as they come. It's early Halloween with the two of them, so you can't say it's due to looks. So how could a guy like Jerry Brown be beating Whitman when she spent $120 million in polls? Because she stands for nothing. That's the problem with the Republican Party today. They're all doing exactly what McCain did all over again. I don't hear anything. Me no hear no evil, me no see no evil, me no smell no evil. Me no speak to who the hell needs them. What are you going to vote for them for? To get the same thing with an R next to the name? No, a pox upon all their houses is what you're saying all over again. But when you see a real candidate who stands for something, who stands for borders, language, and culture, who says that Obama's a criminal and he's surrounded by a gang, who speaks clearly, you go out in droves. The base is energized. They want America back. They want to wake up and they want to say, thank God. I don't fear for my children and my grandchildren. Thank God I don't fear that this guy could turn over the nuclear football to China. Do you really have the confidence that Obama cares about America's national security? Has he ever talked about America's national security? Has he ever talked about America's national honor? Has he ever talked about America as a nation? Answer, no, no, no. No, you haven't heard one word from him about our national security because he doesn't care about it. Nor does Boxer, nor do the Democrats. So I rest my case. Republicans are pouring millions into California to help Carly Fiorina to defeat Barbara Boxer. Now, why is Carly Fiorina, another Republican who stands for nothing, trailing amongst women by 17 points against this hack from Brooklyn, Barbara Boxer? Barbara Boxer. Barbara Boxer. If I had wanted to, I would have run against her. I could have beaten her because of the certain things about Boxer's background that they won't bring up. And her connections, and the family, certain things, the profits that have been made since she's in office, what she had when she started, what she has now, what the husband does as a lawyer, what the son does as a lawyer, all upstanding, wonderful people. All of it, wonderful, upstanding family. But nobody will touch it. Why is that? Why is it no one will say one word about any of this? The answer is because they probably have something to hide. That's why I'm not too excited about either any of the elections in California, other than voting against legalizing marijuana. I voted against legalizing marijuana. It's the most toxic drug in many ways and the most dangerous drug because it leads your child into thinking that it's benign. It's not benign. It's carcinogenic, and it leads them to cocaine. It leads them to very dangerous lifestyles, legal or illegal. Marijuana is a disaster. It's the equivalent of the opiates that were dumped on the Chinese by the British to enslave the Chinese. That's correct. It's equivalent to the opium dumped on the Chinese people to enslave the Chinese by the British, who, by the way, were only defeated after the Boxer Rebellion, when the martial artists got together to throw the British out. I'm giving you a loose thumbnail description of what had to happen in China for the Chinese people to be freed of the scourge of drugs that had been put onto the people's heads by the British. The wonderful Brits. Banned in Britain. Banned in Britain. Great honorable nation. They did a great service to the Irish people. Tortured and killed the Irish for centuries. A fine, upstanding individual. Those individuals there. So I'm all over the map right now. I'm very emotional when I see that Harry Reid's stealing elections, when I see the Democrats are being punched in other states. No matter what you punch for Republican, you get a Democrat. In Houston, Texas, 4 illegal aliens registered to vote, and the FBI is nowhere to be seen. And then to top it all off, illegitimate judges are brought into the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. A pox upon them. A pox upon them. The next time I see one of them at a dinner, I'll spit in his face. I saw one once at a dinner walking around like Caesar himself. You don't know how arrogant these judges are. You haven't any idea how arrogant they are. Walking around like he reminded me of Larry David's cousin. The same exact mentality. Bigger than God Almighty. I won't spit in his face. I'll just turn my back, frankly. He isn't even worth my spittle. But he stole the election just now. He just said to Arizona voters, you may have gone to the polls, you dumb idiots, you, but you're not as smart as me. And they just said, you know what? Your votes don't count. We're the gods of this country. You're nothing, you little peons. You mean nothing. Sure, maybe your brother Eddie died in World War II. Maybe your father lost a leg at Normandy, but that was so I could become a judge. Who the hell do you think you are? I'm bigger than all of you. I'm Larry David. I'm a judge now. I'm in the Supreme Court. I'm on the Ninth Circuit Court. Go to hell. Go to hell. Go to hell. Pardon the pantomime. That's how I get the pain out of my heart. Pardon me. You got to pardon me. The pain is getting greater by the day. This gang has stolen America. This gang is a gang of socialist Marxist criminals on the order of Fidel Castro. Do you know that Castro, now that he's sick, his brother Raul has sort of lightened the totalitarian grip on the people of Cuba, and he is permitting some of the government workers, 96% of the workers in Cuba worked for the Obama-like government for 40 years, but they're bankrupt, they're broke. They have broken cars from the 50s. So even Raul said, let's privatize a little, you know. He's moving up suddenly, it's 1950 to him. He's going to move back to the 1950s in Poland. So he's going to let people, if they're a barber, or become a privatized barber or whatever, and they're taxing them at 50% of their income. I said, my God, between federal and state taxes, it's about the same tax rate as in America. You don't realize you're already living in a socialist dictatorship. The only difference is that you think you're not because that you have a media lying to you. You step out of line, you'll find out what country you're living in. You step out of line and say a few too many things and see what country you're living in. And it can get a lot worse. And under Obama, I can guarantee you, unless they lose 50 seats next week, he is going to get worse than you, than your worst nightmare. The man is a lifetime naked Marxist. I prove it in trickle-up poverty. There's a whole chapter showing him all the way back to childhood, who he was mentored by. You don't want to hear it. You just don't care, man. You'll say, who cares, Marx schmucks? What do I care? What do I care? Well, it's true, most of you don't care. Your indifference is why we have a president of this low caliber in the White House. All right, I've said all I'm going to say for right now. Let's go to New York City. Rena, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to thank you for opening my eyes. I'm in my 30s, and I never really cared about politics before, and I just recently started listening to you, and since I've been listening, you know, it's very scary living in this country today, but at least it's really nice to know that I could turn on the radio and have someone that I could listen to and somebody that could open my eyes and really show me what's going on in this country. It's such a sad state of affairs right now. But
well, it is very sad because we have a president who, as you well know, has been an imposter from day one. And most of America that has not been brainwashed in the colleges where they learned how to use drugs and how to have sex. Most Americans who have not had their brains washed but stayed in the work environment can see through this magician in the White House. Rena, I'm going to send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. I'm really exhausted from this. The 14 x-rays got to me. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're going to punish our enemies and we're going to reward our friends.
Eddie, my love.
About a president going before Latino voters on Univision and saying they should go out and punish their enemies and reward their friends. This is the real Obama, by the way. Don't fall for that nice guy basketball player, a game that he's been playing with you. Is that what they really want out of Obama? A nasty despot? Is that what they're trying to get out of him? Houston, Texas, Mike, what are you seeing in the voting booths over in Houston?
Hey, Doc, four different people, three different days, three different voting venues, and four different machines. When they check the straight Republican ticket, they put the punch card in. If they hadn't looked back and it says, are you sure this is right, and they had just hit yes, like me, and I've done 100 times, they looked at it and noticed that it had gone across to Democrats. Now, this is four different people, four different machines.
Why don't you call your local FBI office? Maybe they can go investigate your machines.
That's already been done. But the poll workers said it just had to be a fluke. Well, on one machine, probably, maybe. But I want to apologize to you, Doc. I doubted your prediction a month or so ago when you first started talking about the voter fraud that was going to happen. I just said, can't be. But this is
I was the first one in the media to say not so fast. They're not going to lose 50 to 80 seats. I said they're going to use special tricks such as voter fraud. Didn't I say that about a month ago?
Absolutely.
And I was the only one in the media to predict that they would do this.
Yes, sir.
How do I know these things? How can one man figure this out all on his own without any newsroom, without any staff to discuss this with? Because it's common sense. If you look at the pattern of the Soros-affiliated money that put this imposter in the office, you know they're not letting go so fast. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. This just came out minutes ago. Billionaire money trickster George Soros threw $1 million as a donation a week before the vote on California's marijuana legalization. The single biggest donation from any individual is to make sure that marijuana is legalized in California. Single biggest donation from an individual other than Prop 19's main sponsor, Oakland medical marijuana businessman Richard Lee. Soros, a high-profile money changer in the temple of truth, has long backed legalization of drugs. Why did he do it? Why does he want to legalize marijuana? You think he cares about your health? He wants you stupid, you idiots, you. It's not rolling back the drug war, as he says. That's not my analysis of Soros. He wants to make sure that the populace is stupid and doped up. I mean, what else can I tell you? Other high-profile donations to legalize marijuana came from $50,000 from Men's Warehouse Chief Executive George Zimmer. You hear this? I guarantee it. And $70,000 from hedge fund president and PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel. Well, that's where the money's coming from. Why would George Soros want marijuana legalized across the land? You really think he cares about decriminalizing marijuana? A man like him? A man who almost broke the Bank of England? A man who almost broke the Bank of Indonesia? A man who has meddled in elections? Why does he want your child on marijuana? New York City, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
You asked a little question a couple minutes ago about why the FBI is not going to investigate voter fraud. I got an answer for you.
Well, what is it?
The answer is because Eric Holder is in the pocket of the White House, who answers to George Soros. All these things are connected. This is like the federal government going and suing the state of Arizona for establishing
laws. Right. Something's wrong. When the federal government takes the side of Mexico over the citizens of the state of Arizona, in essence, they're working for a foreign power. So we have tyranny in the country right now. We have a tyrannical group of left-wing fanatics, international socialists, unconstitutional, anti-constitutional. I don't care how many different ways you spin it. If you add up all of the insults to the body politic, there is a pattern here. Wouldn't you say that that's true?
Oh, I definitely would. This is about the consent of the people. And the president, Eric Holder, George Soros, they don't care about the consent of the people. They care about power.
Most politicians don't care about the people. Let's be very clear about that. There are there's very few noble people in politics to begin with. It doesn't attract the highest caliber of people. Let's put it to you that way. So the point I'm making is let's not expect too much out of ordinary people to begin with and out of politicians in particular. But that's irrelevant. What's relevant is the level of fraud and gangsterism that is going on right in front of our eyes today in cahoots with the media, who is not going to report this tomorrow. What city do you live in, Jim? New York City? Do you think that any of your dailies tomorrow will report about voter fraud in Nevada and in Houston?
Of course not, Mike.
Do you think that the Daily News is going to report tomorrow that a North Carolina man said he pushed the button to vote Republican in all races, but the machine kept coming up Democrat four times in a row? Do you think they're going to report on Nevada voter Joyce Ferreira, who said when she went to vote for Sharon Angle, her Democratic opponent, Harry Reid's name was already punched in? Do you think that they're going to report that on the front page of your newspaper tomorrow? I don't.
No, they won't, because they want to generate a hero, Mike. They want to turn Barack Obama into a hero.
What I'd like to know is how can these illegitimate newspapers take a woman, a legitimate woman like Sharon Angle, a school teacher no less, who did all of this on her own, and support her over a corrupt old boy politician like Harry Reid? Let's just put it in terms of woman versus man. Why is it all of a sudden the big mouth yakking yentas are on the side of Harry Reid, an old white boy, and attacking a woman? Where are the big mouth yentas from New York when we don't need them?
No, they're never where we need them. You know, they're never there when anybody...
Where are all the mini Bella Abzugs, the big yappers from Brooklyn? Where they go all of a sudden? I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Take it into the voting booth with my blessing. And make sure the cover is showing. And then report to me on November 3rd what the poll watcher who put Democrats' names in first have to say to you about a book. Here they are stealing elections, and I'll tell you what book not to bring in. Go ahead. Have a good day.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Part 2, along with Topsy Part 1, on the Savage Nation. So we have the president reverting to hateful rhetoric. The more desperate he becomes, the more he shows his true self, saying that the Republicans can join them, but they have to sit in the back of the bus. He tells Latino voters to go out and punish their enemies and reward their friends. We have reports coming in from around America, from polling places, about the dirty tricks, stealing votes, rigged election machines, illegal aliens voting for the Democrats, people in North Carolina saying they pushed the button to vote Republican, but the voting machine only comes up Democrat. Now, who owns the voting machines? Do you happen to know? Have you people ever looked into who actually runs the programs in the voting machines? I did. It's strangely the same individuals in most cases, the last I checked, could be different, that run the parimutuel betting machines around the country. Now, let's leave it at that. Let's just leave it at that. So we already have a problem with voting machines. Now we have rigged voting machines. We have a compliant press. We have an illegitimate Democrat Party that will stoop to any level in order to steal this election. And we have the electorate that's infuriated. So what would you like to say about this? Let's play little Obama so you can get a flavor for what he's becoming.
We don't mind the Republicans joining us. They can go come for the ride, but they got to sit in back.
Got to sit in the back, he means of the bus. That's very nice. North Carolina, Ronnie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, you've been right about McCain. I heard him say today that Republicans are doing a premature victory lap and that the Dems have a highly sophisticated get-out-the-vote program going is probably fill buses up and go vote 10 different times at 10 different voting stations. What a goof. They need to put a D next to this guy's name.
Oh, well, McCain has long been a an embarrassment to the word conservative. He should have been thrown out in Arizona, but he bought the election. And, you know, he just bought his place back. He bought his seat in the Dem-Repub party. He turns my stomach too, Ronnie. I'm sick and tired of hearing about his war hero status. You know, all well and good, all power to him. I admire that part of him, but does that make him a good politician?
No, he's lost his
mind. No, there's been many generals who came back and were terrible politicians. I can name several. They were excellent on the battlefield and terrible on the political field. I'm going to send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty so at least perhaps you have a chance to tell your friends and relatives in writing with documentation who was in the White House. Joe in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I was born in communist Romania. I found this decision by the court in Arizona outrageous.
Have you heard it anywhere but on my show?
I read it today on the internet. On Fox News.
All right, good. I'm glad you saw it on the internet. I'm glad that we have the news coming out on various sites. But they just overturned the ballot initiative in Arizona from 2004, which said simply a voter must show ID in order to register to vote. How in the world can that be considered unconstitutional? The answer, it isn't. The answer is they want illegal aliens to continue to put illegitimate Democrats in office.
Absolutely. Now, I live in New Jersey. I was concerned that last year they would somehow steal the gubernatorial elections. And I guess the margin was wide enough that the shenanigans did not work.
Well, you got a terrific governor in that state. It was a great upset victory over the old Democrat machine. I don't even know how he won.
Do you like him?
Why? What has he done since that's no good?
Well, no, he's done everything that's good. He's cutting the budget. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, I actually think he would be a good presidential candidate for the Republican Party as opposed to a guy like Romney who's been silent and says nothing.
But where is Mitch McConnell? Where is Boehner? How come they're not screaming about these elections?
Well, Mitch McConnell, the gullet? Mitch the gullet McConnell? Mitch the gobbler? Mitch the gobbler, yeah. And Boehner the smoker. I don't know where they are. They should be screaming a bloody murder, not me. That's their job, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, Joe, you haven't voted yet, have you?
No, but I will vote next week.
I did absentee ballot yesterday. I don't even want to go in and see the nauseating Democrat people sitting in the booths here in California. You never see anybody but the left-wing wobblies in white tennis sneakers sitting there, seeing if they can get a few more busloads of illegals out behind the curtain. Joe, I'm sending you a free copy of what? If you can name it, you got it.
Trickle Down Poverty.
No, you don't get it. I'm sorry. He doesn't get a free book. It's not Trickle Down Poverty. It's Trickle Up Poverty. So he can't win. No, he's not getting it. Hang on. I'm sorry, Joe. You missed it. You got to get it right to win. It's not just an automatic giveaway. Sorry about that. That's the way it works. Sacramento, California. Rodney, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, aren't these politicians getting away from what it is really all about? It's just lending your leadership for a time, and money is second place. All these guys have so much to lose on something.
Well, that's like a priest or a rabbi who gets caught in a car with a girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, what are you going to do? Human foibles and all that? We're all human. I don't expect superhuman behavior out of anyone, including myself. But I keep repeating that in my day, the one dividing line that, I mean, there was always corruption. There was always corruption in politics. But in my day, when it came to national security, it was a line that no politician crossed because they feared being arrested for electorate that would not have tolerated treason. Today, the line between patriotism and treason has been so blurred by the Democrats that people don't even understand what treason is anymore. Thank you for the call. You do win a free copy of what? Rodney, can you name it?
Trickle Up Poverty.
Yay! We got a winner. I'll be right back.
Savage. years from today, our children and grandchildren will be able to look back and say that we kept faith with the values we were raised with, that we gave them.
That would be stealing elections. That would be buying votes. That would be stirring up racial enmity. That's great that we see what values you've been raised with. Really, really be proud of that. This just came out from the Las Vegas Sun, posted on Drudge. The campaign attorney for Sharron Angle says Reid intends to steal this election if he can't win it outright. Did you hear this? As Sharron Angle's campaign attorney, he says, I'm sorry to report that the Democrats and their cronies are up to their old tricks. They're manipulating the election in hopes of skewing the results in their favor. What are they doing? 2 days ago, the Democratic Secretary of State in Nevada announced that voters can be provided free food at voter turnout events. Harry Reid has been offering free food. I guess that would be the Kool-Aid. And according to some reports, some allies such as teachers' unions are offering gift cards in return for a vote for Harry Reid. Before they were able to even report these infractions, the Democrat stooge Secretary of State slammed the door shut on preventing this behavior and permitted these acorn-style tactics. This is what's going on. And that's why Sharron Angle's attorney is begging for dozens of election law attorneys and poll watchers to combat these tactics. They're buying votes. They're stealing elections. Vote fraud threatens our democracy. Voter fraud threatens our democracy. They're doing it now. They're doing it in advance. They're going to do it on election day. Please bring trickle-up poverty into a voting booth. If Sheila Jackson Lee, as reported, Democrat Houston, violated election laws when on Tuesday, October 19th, she entered a polling place, walked to where the voting booths were, looked for the poll watchers, greeted voters until she was asked to leave by a presiding judge, you can bring a copy of Trickle-Up Poverty, if you choose to do so, into a voting booth. And then on November 3rd, I want you to report on this show what they said to you. They're electioneering right into the booth. They're electioneering. They're stealing votes. Nevada voter Joyce Ferrara, as I said, when she went to vote for Sharron Angle, her Democratic opponent, Reid's name was already checked and she couldn't change it no matter how she tried. Why is Harry Reid so desperate to be reelected? Why are people like Harry Reid and Barbara Boxer so bloody desperate to hang on to their seats? What is it about these jobs, these positions, that is so intoxicating? Must be something to it. I don't want it. I don't know one normal person who wants to be a politician. I have no idea why they want it. I'd rather do my radio show and tell you what I think is going on and be rewarded for it and be left alone. Why would anyone want to be in the public eye? There seems to be something deranged about public officials to begin with. But that's a separate story. But I mean, I've told you my feelings about this for years. I never wanted to run for office. But when I heard Meathead say that he fears the Tea Parties might get a charismatic... Can you play it again? Here's Meathead exposing his seltzer bottle brain for all the world to hear.
My fear is that the Tea Party gets a charismatic leader. Because all they're selling is fear and anger.
Right.
And that's all Hitler sold. I'm angry and I'm frightened and you should hate that guy over there.
How embarrassing. How embarrassing to expose your yellow belly like that. You know, Reagan was 72 when he became president, wasn't he? And I've been blessed with a quadruple battery. Not one, not two, not three, but apparently four batteries. I don't know. It's starting to appeal to me. It's starting to appeal to me. I'll tell you the truth. When I see the type of individuals going into politics, I'm telling you the truth. Something is starting to percolate in my mind. It may just be interesting. It may be interesting to run as a third-party candidate and force them to let me debate both Republican and Democrat and see what happens with a third-party candidate in the 2012 election cycle. It'd be very interesting. Remember that wonderful guy who came along as a shill for the Democrats? Why, I looked under that hood and I saw that engine that needed fixing and I tinkered down there and I know how to fix that engine. He was a stooge, in my opinion, for the Democrats. He sucked votes away from the Republican, Mr. Libertarian from Texas. What was his name again? Never heard from him again, remember? We all loved him. The Maverick. Put his own money in. Sucked a lot of votes away from the Republican and made sure Bill Clinton would become president. That's how it works. That's why I'm not going to do it. Because if I ran, truthfully, I know that I could probably get between 10 to 14% with almost no money of the popular vote. I'm pretty convinced of it. That would be enough to steal the election for Obama and let him win. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. But the problem is, you want me to get excited about Mr. Romney, who has been silent through all of the trials that we've been going through, whether it be the Ground Zero Mosque, not a word from Romney. He's Mr. Silent. What kind of leadership is that? I'm sorry. I have no faith in him. None. I have no faith. I mean, if I had a choice between him right now and Obama, there's no question I'd vote for Romney. Okay, great. But he's another, you know, little R. He's a small R kind of guy. Nice man, but a small R. And that doesn't really excite me too much. Another small R, not one word on illegal immigrants. Again, the holy illegal immigrant, they all want that, their vote. But just on the issues of socialism and taxation, I'd have to vote for him. I'll say it right up front if he runs. I can't tell you that Palin may say the right thing. She's unelectable. I'm sorry, unelectable. You run Palin against Obama, you got another 4 years of the Obama machine. End of story. Go ahead, make that mistake. I have not spoken to one person who I know of who's a conservative who would vote for Sarah Palin for president. She can't win. She'll never win the women vote. They don't like her. They don't trust her. They will never vote for her. Take a look at what's going on in California now with Fiorina against that old hack from Brooklyn, Barbara Boxer. The women won't even go over to a woman like Carly Fiorina, who admittedly is very moderate, but at least the businesswoman knows something about running a business. You can't say that about Boxer. And the women still don't trust Fiorina. Palin, unfortunately, she says wonderful things. She stands for the right things. But I don't even want to debate it. She's not running right now. She's busy making a fortune in entertainment, which is where I think she belongs. You know, remember Annie Oakley, she could set up the Annie Oakley shooting contest and be very, go around the country like with a tent and shoot knives out of the mouths of fallen Democrats or something like that. All right, let's go to the Chicago. Chris, what's this? What's this? You brought Tupperware?
I brought my trickle-up poverty to the voting booth today, and they tried to make me bring it back to my automobile, and I refused. And so I just heard comments while I was voting because one of the booth attendants had his book Freakonomics there, and I said, well, why can you have your book? I can't have my book.
What, you're telling me one of the election officials had a left-wing book on the table?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is a very interesting story. It's exactly what I thought was going to happen. And so because you said, wait a minute, you have a liberal cover on your table, you're not making me take this book out, he then backed off?
Yeah.
Well, what you did here, Chris, is that you actually exposed the fact that he was electioneering inside the booth. That's news. That is news. You just exposed news on this show. And I'm asking every listener to have the guts to bring trickle-up poverty into the voting booth, whether it is next week or in early voting today, and confront the liberals who may or may not have, a liberal title on the table in order to electioneer right at the polling place. This is good stuff, Chris. This is good. My strategy may yet work. We may just save the country. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Give it to a friend to bring into the voting booth with my blessings, if they wish to do so. It is not a requirement to continue listening to the show. But if they're going to show a lib book, you can bring in a conserve book. Trickle up. Buckle up.
Savage.
Trickle up. It is the Savage Nation sitting here with a bestseller thanks to you. Jimmy Carter schlepping around the country like Willie Loman from one bad venue to another, still can't get out of the starting gate with his book. No one knows, never heard of him. It's amazing the real Americans can find the real book when they really want it. And here in the city of San Francisco, they have a World Series tomorrow night. As I told you, I went last week. I did the playoff. I lasted two innings. I'm not a sports fan. Some are. including some very intelligent people in my own family. I'm not. Two innings, I was out of there. Like St. Vitus dance, I ran out of the chair, ran to the ferry and got out of the city. So now I can't even come into town tomorrow night and Thursday. The lunacy that's in the streets. And here the local failed newspaper is asking for drag queens to throw out the first ball. Drag queens and a junkie comedian to come and throw out the first ball. Can you imagine how much lower it can get? And over there in the Nut House up in Napa, the mental hospital, a state mental hospital worker was robbed and strangled by an inmate. Charlie Sheen, New York, found running naked, allegedly, in the lobby of a hotel with drugs and a hooker. His spokesmouth said that it was an allergic reaction. It's great working in the media. I mean, who else would read this? I have to do this for a living, so you pass everything. Jimmy Carter as a writer. That's as interesting as Charlie Sheen as someone with an allergy. 1-800-449-8255. See any good movies lately? I watched Military History last night about the Korean War, the Forgotten War. You see American troops, their feet were frozen in the snow. I never saw men had to fight in such conditions in my life. I never saw anything. It was like Napoleon's army getting caught in Russia. They sent the boys in without winter clothing. How they fought, where they had the courage and the strength from, I don't know. And it was for nothing, the whole war. And then you flash to an ad, you see, it's like two different species of man. The men of the 1950s, and then the men they show you today in the ads. Or the Hollywood comedians, or I can't explain it. It's as though it's like a parallel universe between the men of the 50s, even the generals. You take a MacArthur. Or a Ridgway, a young General Ridgway brought in, a World War II hero, to save Korea from a devastation. Mao Tse-tung unleashed 250,000 troops. Ridgway saved it by reigniting the morale of the troops. And then you compare it to today? There's no sports players. Let's start with sports. You take a look at them, they look like degenerates with the hair hanging down, no role models. It doesn't mean they're not talented as ball players, but there's no Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio. You look at them. Where's the Joe DiMaggio of our time? I'm sure there's a guy who's just as good as him. But why don't they inspire a feeling of looking up to a hero? Why does the guy have to look like a dirtbag running around with hair hanging down his back, for example? Or you look at the generals. They look like ushers in a movie theater with epaulettes. Captain Kangaroo. Where are they? I mean, the men must still be here. Where are they? Did they all die? Did they all get killed in Vietnam? Where did the men go? What happened to them? Maybe they're all in Pelican Bay. I don't know where they are. Or the cops who control them. I don't know where they are. Where'd they all go? Where are the men like the men who could fight and not freeze to death and still fight with their legs were frozen underneath them? Where'd they go? Where'd they all go? Now they're in Afghanistan, many of them. And you know what the government's doing to them while they're fighting and dying? Negotiating with the Taliban. The troops are bewildered. They say, if we're not here to win, why are we still here taking bullets? Go ask Obama. Go ask Obama and the First Lady, who's so proud of who she is. Listen to her now. Go listen to who's running the country. Go ahead. Play that again.
From today, our children and grandchildren will be able to look back and say that we kept faith with the values we were raised with.
Well, that's
that we
true.
Gave them that better life they deserved, and that we met our obligation to leave for them an America worthy of their dreams. We need you, Washington. Let's get it done. Thank you all so much.
Yes, like voting machines that are rigged, free food at turnout events in Nevada, union cards, union gift cards for votes. That's what she was brought up with? I don't believe it. And who do you think the voting machine techs are? The technicians who work on the voting machines. Again, just came out on Drudge. He gets the stories first. He does. No point in denying it. Are you ready for this? Nevada voting machines are automatically checking Harry Reid's name. The voting machine technicians are SEIU members. Clark County is where 3/4 of Nevada's residents vote and live. And where Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's son, Rory, is a county commissioner. Rory is also a Democratic candidate for governor. Voter Joyce Ferrara said when they went to vote for Republican Sharon Angle, her Democratic opponent, Senator Harry Reid's name was already checked. She said her husband and several others voting at the same time all had the same thing happen. Something's not right, Mrs. Ferrara said. One person, that's a fluke. Two, that's strange. But several within a five-minute period, that's wrong. Clark County so-called Register of Voters, Larry Lomax, said there's no voter fraud. No voter fraud at all. But it is worth noting that the voting machine technicians in Clark County, Nevada, are members of the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU, spent $63 million in elections in 08, and is planning on spending $44 million more in this election, all of that on Democrats. White House political director Patrick Gaspard is formerly the SEIU's top lobbyist, and former SEIU president Andy Stein of the Stern, not of the Stern gang, was the most frequent visitor to the White House last year. Just in Nevada, the SEIU has given a lot of groups heavily vested in the state. One example, the SEIU gave $500,000 to the Patriot Majority PAC, which has spent $1.3 million smearing Sharon Angle. It's unbelievable to me. Many of Clark County's employees are also represented by the SEIU. The SEIU is hyper-politicized. It has seen its fair share of corruption. Now, who is the voting machine manufacturer? Diebold, D-I-E-B-O-L-D. Now, Diebold has Republican ties, and that company was at the center of many conspiracy theories on the left during the Bush administration. Fair enough. So do you think that its turnaround is fair game, that we have a right to ask, why are so many SEIU employees involved in checking these voting machines, that they are the technicians? Could they be rigging them? Could they be rigging them? The Nevada voting machines that are showing Democrat when you vote Republican, they have technicians. The technicians are SEIU members. Do we have a right to ask if there's any shenanigans here? Chicago, Ed, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, I would love to see you being sworn in as our next president.
Well, it's never going to happen, but it's a nice fantasy.
You're the voice of conservative America. Keep it up, Mike.
Well, I'm good on the radio. I'm not made for politics. But anyway, let's go on. What happened today?
A friend of mine told me about an electronic machine that he went to vote in Palatine, Illinois, which is a Cook County suburb. And when he pressed the checkbox, pressed it with his finger for Republican, he noticed it was registering for Democrat.
Oh, my God. So this is what... So they're stealing it through the machines now.
You're right. You called.
Oh, this is bad, Ed. This is getting bad. If we're getting reports all over the country of the unions rigging the machines, we have a catastrophe on our hands here. Do you remember what one of the big politicians, one of the corrupt Democrats, said last week? You're going to be quite surprised after this election when many people who you thought should win are going to lose and many people who you thought were going to lose are going to win. Who was that? Who said that last week?
I can't recall offhand.
Well, they already had, it was rigged already. It's like the 1918 World Series. They rigged it. They rigged the machines. They're going to steal it for the Dems and Obama, and we're going to have a dictatorship.
Because some of the campaign ads, I got a call yesterday from a recorded message, a woman saying her name is Jenny and she was raped, and then she was implying that if we vote for Brady, that's going to be more of that type of stuff. And I just hung up the phone.
Well, we know about the calls, the robo calls, but now when you see that Nevada voting machines are being handled by SEIU members, and they're all left-wingers, we have a real problem here. Ed, I'm sending you a free copy of what? What are you getting?
Trickle Up Poverty.
Bingo! That's right. If you remember the name, you get it. Yep, there it is. SEIU. Wonderful people. The SEIU is the equivalent of, you know what they're the equivalent of. The Service Employees International Union. Play the Internationale. And you'll know what they are. If you come from Eastern Europe, you know what I'm talking about. Andy Stern. Andy Stern's gang. The SEIU. Welcome to the Soviet States of America under Chancellor Obama. That's all a joke right now. All a joke. It's just funny right now. All funny. Real funny. Minnesota, Stephen, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I just want to let you know I'm running for a small office here on our city council.
Congratulations. And what happened? You went to the a campaign forum with my book?
Yes, I did.
And what happened?
Right up in front of me, and in my closing statement, I stated that if they wanted to know my mindset, to read your book, because it was an awesome read.
Oh, my God. You had the nerve to actually present your credentials as clearly as that in this country?
Yes, I do. I'm also a kippah-wearing, beard-growing Jew, and I'm campaigning that way.
Wait, you're also a what type of Jewish person?
I wear my kippah, and I've grown my beard out.
Oh, you're an Orthodox man.
Excuse me?
You're an Orthodox Jewish man.
Yes.
And you're running for office in Minnesota?
Yes, I am. Brainerd, Minnesota.
And what's the position, Stephen?
It's alderman for the council here in Ward 4.
And do you think you have a chance of winning?
I think I have an excellent chance. The people around here have been very open and receptive, and they're fed up with how our local council has been running the city.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, Stephen. I really do, and I admire your alacrity, you know. It's a funny word because you don't use it much, but I admire it. And I'm going to send you another copy of Tup. Stay on the line. That's amazing. That's okay. Florida Wick, you're on the Savage Nation, Mr. Wick, Mrs. Wick.
I think you're missing a great opportunity here. At least under Florida law, people are entitled to bring in whichever books they wish to bring in or any material as long as they don't actively campaign and start thumping Bible.
Oh, so you are allowed to bring in trickle-up poverty into the voting booth in Florida?
Well, pardon?
In Florida, that's permitted.
Yes, in Florida that's permitted, but maybe you even have a way around some other restrictions that might exist in other states. Simply get the image of the cover of your book and have it printed on T-shirts, and that way supporters of the Savage Nation could enter.
Oh, wait, you see, but here's the problem. A T-shirt would be considered a political banner. That might be more easily banned than a book. Once they start banning books, it would look very bad for the Democrats to say, we're banning that book. Because it makes them look like what they actually are, but a T-shirt they could arguably say is sort of like a banner, and that's illegal. I wouldn't recommend a T-shirt with trickle-up poverty on it because it could easily be seen for what it is as a political banner. A book, on the other hand, if they say don't bring that book in, then you have a choice of saying, well, wait a minute, what books are you carrying in? I want to see your handbag. What book did you bring in here?
Yes, indeed. The example from the other caller of having the liberal document here in Florida, that would be illegal and probably grounds for the dismissal of a poll worker.
You mean if a poll worker brought in any book, it would be considered illegal?
A nonpartisan book, that could be grounds for dismissal.
Well, you're getting a copy of Trickle Up Poverty to bring into the polling booth if you wish. It's not required to. New York City, WOR Joe. Come on, help us here, Joe. What's going on with you?
Doc, I thought you would get a kick out of a story. About an hour ago, I'm listening to your show in horrendous traffic. I believe the vice president happens to be in Manhattan today.
Uh-huh.
So I sidetracked to go down through Greenwich Village, and I thought, well, God put me here for a reason. So I opened all my windows on a beautiful Indian summer night, and you broadcast your show to Washington Square Park as I had to make my way around.
Oh, God, it brings back my beatnik days.
Oh, you would have. The looks were priceless.
Well, what I mean, you mean they heard the show coming into Washington Square Park out of your car radio on OR? What'd they say?
Well, I'm listening to the radio, and rather than blaring music to the radio, I'm blaring your mellifluous tones out into the night, and people recognized you, and you were talking about the president, you were talking about Marxism, and I guess their ears perked up when they heard Marx.
Marx, yes, because that's something they respond to like little dogs.
So it was. Well,
most of them go to NYU, or they were dropouts from NYU for drug charges. If they don't throw themselves out of the dormitory, God forbid, they drop out.
Exactly.
Why does NYU have such a high dropout and fallout rate, I wonder? What's going on in that school? So you have beautiful weather there in the park, yeah? Real balmy night with the guitars. But the days of the beatniks are over, right? I mean, there are no beatniks left in the park. That was 50 years ago.
No, they've cleaned it up.
What's in Washington Square Park these days?
I did not get out. I saw quite a lot of people walking around, a lot of dogs walking around. There's a dog run.
Normal people now, not what the drug dealers used to be there?
I haven't had the pleasure of walking through it in years. I happen to be on active duty with the Marine Corps this week.
Oh, well, you should have worn your uniform. You should have worn your uniform to top it off in the car. You should have had the uniform on and an American flag on your fender. That would have gone over real well in Washington Square.
After duty. But
I am sending you two free copies of Trickle Up, one for you and one for a friend of your choice. Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Years from today, our children and grandchildren will be able to look back and say that we kept faith with the values we were raised with, that we gave them that better life they deserved, and that we
all right,
met
all right,
our
yeah,
obligation.
All right. Well, what values was she raised with that there are so many allegations now of fraudulent voting, machines voting Democrat, like a rigged, what do you call it when you go into a casino? I can't even remember. I was in a casino. I didn't even gamble. I spent $10. I'm not a gambler. What do you call those machines you press buttons where if you get the number of cherry slot machines? The slot machines, they're about as reliable. You know, how many winners are there on a slot machine? Can you imagine this? George Soros now is accused with Sheriff Jackson Lee of threatening observers with a Justice Department investigation. Just came out on WorldNet Daily. A George Soros-funded organization, aided by Texas Rep. Sheila Jackson Lee, a demon cat, is apparently trying to chase volunteer observers from precinct polling locations across Harris County, Texas, after the poll watchers found election judges and clerks allegedly voting for citizens who were undecided. Can you believe this? Poll watchers are also being verbally and physically harassed by people loitering at the polls with no intention to vote at the time, including a man identified as a reverend, and Houston Rep. Sheila Jackson Lee was seen inside the polling location, electioneering, and threatening to turn a poll watcher's name to the Department of Justice for voter intimidation, according to a watching institute. And, of course, the U.S. Department of Justice is not interested in any of this. Instead, the U.S. Department of Justice is only interested in alleged violations against minorities. Because the U.S. Department of Injustice under Eric Holder confirmed that they will investigate Democrat complaints of intimidation by white middle-class poll observers in minority precincts in Harris County. They were accused of hovering around voters. That's the same Injustice Department that refuses to investigate allegations against members of the new Black Panther Party caught on video swinging a baton in front of a Philadelphia polling station in 2008. Well, I've had 14 x-rays today, or 12 in a dental office. No big deal, not like fighting in Korea. But for a guy in radio, believe me, 14 x-rays gagging, and I have a terrible gag reflex. I don't even know if that's genetic or what. It's like I was embarrassed. I used some self-hypnosis where I squeezed my left hand. There's nothing compared to childbirth. I don't know how women do it. That's why they outlive us. They're so strong, it's unbelievable. The fair sex. Men have no idea how squeamish they are compared to women. Go give birth to a baby, you'll know what I'm talking about. Not that I've done it, I'm just saying I can empathize. So it's nothing, 14 x-rays and gagging on dental fluid. A paste. I can't wait to get some bad Chinese food in my mouth.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
A white sport coat nation. I'm all dressed up for the dance.
Well, the illegal dirty tricks.
Sport coat.
I mean, I guess there's legal tricks, and then there's legal dirty tricks, then there's illegal dirty tricks, and then there's illegal undirty tricks. But the Democrats are conducting illegal dirty tricks. Let us start with what just happened in the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels, the Communist Court in San Francisco. They brought in Sandra Day O'Connor as a special justice. Did you know this, Beowulf? And they voted that Arizona's proof of citizenship required to vote is unconstitutional. Just in time for the election. And who did they bring in? A retired Supreme Court communist, socialist. You call it what you want. The dirty tricks keep on coming. They're stealing votes around the country. They're blocking votes around the country. Democrats in the process of stealing your vote. In some cases, they're doing it by campaigning at polling places in violation of election laws, as Michelle Obama was reported to have done in Chicago. In some cases, the illegal Dems are registering illegal aliens and getting them to vote so that your vote will be nullified. In some cases, the corrupt Dems just fixed the machines so the vote will be cast for who they want elected, not who you want elected. You think I'm making it up? Here's a small sampling of what the illegitimate Cuba-style Democrats are doing to maintain their hold, their absolute hold and absolute power. In Nevada, voter Joyce Ferrara said when she went to vote for Republican Sharon Angle, her Democratic opponent, Senator Harry Reid's name was already checked. Can you believe this? In America, in 2010 under this gang, in Houston, Texas, at least four illegal aliens have been registered to vote. In the actual voter registration forms, the applicants marked no to the question, are you a U.S. citizen? Yet they were registered to vote anyway by the Democrats. They are now on the rolls and able to participate in the upcoming midterm elections. In Houston, Texas, Sheila Jackson Lee, remember her? She violated election laws. October 19th, when she entered a polling place, walked to where the voting booths were, looking for the poll watchers, greeted voters there, before being told by the presiding judge to leave the area. Wait till you hear this one. A North Carolina man said he pushed the button to vote Republican in all races, but the voting machine screen displayed a ballot with all Democrats checked. He cleared the screen, tried again, same result. Then he asked for and received help from election staff. They pushed it twice, and Democrats came up again. So what can you do about this? What action can you take? Would you stand ready to report any voting irregularities that you see? Would you speak up loudly and refuse to be silenced by controlling leftist poll workers? Would you proudly carry your copy of Trickle Up Poverty with you into the polling place? The left are using every dirty trick known to mankind to steal your vote. And the dirty tricks keep on coming from the illegitimate, filthy, degenerate Democrat Party. You're not going to believe this one. Obama has been telling Latino voters to punish their enemies.
If Latinos sit out the election, instead of saying we're going to punish our enemies,
punish their enemies,
reward our friends who stand with us on issues that are important to us, if they don't see that kind of upsurge in voting in this election, then I think it's going to be harder. And that's why I think it's so important that people focus on voting on November 2nd.
That must be the libs who have granted services and monies to all the illegal Latino immigrants who are not entitled to any of it.
I am president.
So
am
our fake
king.
President tells our fake citizens to continue attacking
America. I can't
America.
Do these things just by myself. We have a system of government that requires the Congress.
It's unbelievable to me.
Work with the executive branch.
Listen to Obama in this montage, reversing his position on using the word creator while quoting the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that we are endowed with certain inalienable rights.
In recent weeks, the president has quoted from the Declaration of Independence and has omitted the Declaration's reference to rights, quote, endowed by their creator. Why did he omit this part of the Declaration?
I can assure you the president believes in the Declaration.
Is it surprising Obama has lost his way?
Self-evident, that all men are created equal. We are all endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights. That they are endowed
by their creator.
And it's not even clear if he follows a religion right now.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Now, here's President Obama saying that the Republicans can come along for the ride, but they have to sit in the back of the bus.
We don't mind the Republicans joining us. They can go come for the ride, but they got to sit in back.
Play it again.
We don't mind the Republicans joining us.
Racially
they can go
charged?
Come
no.
for the ride, but they got to sit in back.
In the back, Mr. President?
They got to sit in back.
Wow.
In back.
Where will the Dems be sitting then? To top it all off, here's Jimmy Carter coming up with an excuse as to why he lost his election to Ronald Reagan.
What do you think of third parties?
Well, of course, I didn't like him when I ran for re-election in 1980
right.
because for 2.5 years, Ted Kennedy had been running against me, and then the last minute, a third-party candidate came in and picked up a lot of the liberal Democratic votes.
Right.
And
no,
as a matter
of fact, Ronald Reagan only got...
Don't you remember the state of the country back in 79?
But he won because of a third-party candidate.
The economy was a wreck. The Iran hostage crisis. Everything was a wreck. And Carter, your memory must be going because an independent Republican ran in that election, too. There's a lot to talk about in the Savage Nation today. I mean, you listen to Harry Reid, and you don't know what he's talking about. First of all, it's eerie. His voice sounded like a newsreel from the 1930s. Didn't it sound like a guy announcing like a dirigible just crashed and caught fire in Newark or something? I mean, that was an odd voice for Harry Reid. Always plays, you know, Mr. Milquetoast. He hides all of his passion. So when he becomes passionate, he actually sounds as though he's a newsreel reporter from the 1930s. But that's irrelevant. The irrelevant point is, what the hell was he talking about? He came here, he was like a Chilean miner, and he hasn't stopped digging. He's just dug her into a deeper hole. The man inherited $1 trillion debt. Obama. That's what he got. They threw him a hot potato. We know that. Okay? So his answer is to make it into a $3 trillion debt and raise the unemployment? That's his idea of solving America's problems? I'll be right back.
Savage.
My book, Trickle Up Poverty, is a bestseller despite being ignored by the in-stream media. The message, though, is being heard without their help. There are those out there who have read my book. Gina Miller with the Dakota Voice has reviewed the book and joins us now to talk about it. Gina Miller, welcome back to the Savage Nation. You said in your review that my book is essential reading. Great words to any author.
Well, Michael, first of all, I want to say congratulations on having written a grand slam of a book. Trickle Up Poverty is essential reading. Because you offer solid prescriptions for stopping and reversing the Obama agenda after you expose it. And you expose the Obama radical left agenda in such great detail. There is so much information packed in this book. I cannot recommend it enough. And as I said in my review, whether you are a political novice, you're just getting involved in politics and following politics, or you're a veteran of political knowledge, this book is invaluable. It's an invaluable resource. The amount of research you put into this book, I can't imagine how you did it. It's just so extensively researched, pages and pages of footnotes, and the way you offer analysis of these events, the Obama administration, not just the administration, you take on all these areas of the left, and chapter by chapter, it's so well organized. You can just take a chapter and study that one chapter and come away with an extensive amount of knowledge and arguments to defeat the left.
It seems that there are a flood of conservative books out there. What do you think makes Trickle Up Poverty a must-buy?
That's right. I did make a note that there may be a little bit of conservative book burnout out there, and a lot of people that have been collecting these books say, it's another book, but this is not your garden variety conservative cheerleader rah-rah book. No. Trickle Up Poverty, it's a serious, in-depth educational resource. It's I don't want to call it a textbook because that makes it sound dry, which it certainly is not. But it is. It's as informative as a textbook and very very easy to read. Although I will say it's gut wrenching to read, but it's not just another conservative book that's out there. They're coming out all the time, but this one is definitely a must-buy, a must-read. That is Trickle Up Poverty. Each chapter, as I said, detailed, organized, researched and footnoted, and you go into the major areas of the assault on America by this plainly Marxist Obama administration and all their fellow travelers in other areas of power.
You talked about the chapter Nightmare on Wall Street in particular in your review.
That's right, Michael. Nightmare on Wall Street is a very important chapter because so many of us, like me, I'm almost ignorant about the world of finance. When you start talking about hedge funds, short selling, and that sort of thing, I'm lost. And it's a hard concept to explain what these things are and why they're important. And in Nightmare on Wall Street, you gave a very, very good picture of what is going on from TARP to Fannie and Freddie to Chris Dodd and the Friends of Angelo. I kept hearing Friends of Angelo, and I didn't understand what that was and what that had to do with Countrywide, but you explain all of that in there. You touch on the SEIU, the automobile industry bailouts. You take us on a tour of Washington and Wall Street for the layman, and I tell you, it's an excellent chapter. It's one that your readers will want to study and study again, Nightmare on Wall Street. It will make you shudder.
I wrote Trickle Up Poverty for this election so everyone could arm themselves with the knowledge they need to see what is going on in American politics today.
Well, you know, Michael, knowledge is power, as the saying goes, and it's very true, and it's especially true nowadays. I think our country has spent so long living in kind of a comfort zone, in a daze, if you will, for so many decades. We basically just had faith in our government to do the right thing and to take our country where it needs to go, but we've been asleep, and what has happened is this Marxist administration has suddenly been thrust into Washington, and people are starting to wake up. And what's so important about Trickle Up Poverty is that you provide in this book information that is power. When people are armed with information and the knowledge of what's actually going on in Washington, in Hollywood academia, in all the areas of power that the left has infiltrated and now pretty much controls, then you are armed with knowledge that you can fight back. And not only does your book, Trickle Up Poverty, provide the picture, the ugly picture of what is going on and what the left has been up to for years and years, and especially in the last couple of years with the Obama administration, you paint such a good picture and inform us of what they're doing that they're not going to be able to get away with it. And we are going to be holding them accountable. So you're giving us ammunition with information. And then at the end of the book, of course, you give us prescriptions and remedies. And that's what makes this book so important for people who are finally waking up and realizing we're in a terrible, terrible situation in our country, and we're just on the edge of losing it. Like you said, our country hangs in the balance like a loose tooth, and that is so true.
So where do we go from here?
Michael, where we go from here, for one thing, next Tuesday we go to the voting booth, and we do all we can there to throw the bums out. That's a start. November 2nd is certainly a start. Otherwise, we must remain engaged. We must study trickle-up poverty, and your 37 points in the Chapter 11, get those, commit those to heart, and do what we can on an individual level, whether it's talking to our friends and family or writing letters to the editor, writing our congressmen and senators. Stay on top of what's going on in Washington, in our schools. We must remain engaged. And we must not go back to sleep. That is the main thing. And, of course, Trickle Up Poverty is a wealth of knowledge, and I highly recommend buying extra copies for your friends and family out there. Those of you who are listening in the Savage Nation, you already know this, but it's an excellent book. It's an invaluable resource. America is waking up, as I said before. So many of us are engaged, and we're not going to disengage.
What can we, the people, do?
Well, I realize a lot of us, like me, just an average Joe Blow, don't feel that we can do all that much. What can we do? We write letters to the editor. We write letters to Congress. I don't even bother writing the White House, but I personally write, and that's one thing you can do is communicate through writing. You can be active in following your local politics. You can talk to your friends and family, and you can engage them in maybe uncomfortable discussions. And people, there are so many people out there that don't want to acknowledge that our country is in trouble, big trouble. And as far as what each of us can do, we can only do so much, but it's important that we engage our friends and family. We spread the word. One thing you can do, I don't want to be corny here, but you can buy Trickle Up Poverty and give it as gifts to people. It's a very important, just to be armed with knowledge is very important. And how we can make a difference, we really can't know in the grand scheme of things, but one person at a time is important. Just communicate.
Where can we read more?
My review of Trickle Up Poverty is at dakotavoice.com.
Gina Miller, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you so much for having me on. It was my pleasure, and God bless you and the Savage Nation.
The average person can make a big difference. Get out and vote. Make your voice heard. Walk in with Trickle Up Poverty so others can get the message too.
Savage.
Obama's approval rating is at a low of 37%. A protester was stomped at a Kentucky debate. Obama says, my name's not on the ballot, but my agenda is. Can you believe this?
Jesus.
Of course, you heard already that I went to vote and Harry Reid's name was already checked. Yet in the latest poll, Angle is up by over 4% over Harry Reid. We told you in North Carolina, a woman said, I voted Republican and the machine checked Democrat. We told you that the court overturned Arizona's proof of citizenship requirement to vote. They brought in Sandra Day O'Connor to rig that one. I mean, it's getting worse by the second. Soros, the money changer, says legalize marijuana. Now you understand why I oppose it. Obama has cited the word creator 4 times since a reporter asked the White House about the omission last week.
That's an interesting switch.
Home prices are hovering near recent lows. Now, here's something interesting. Puerto Rico has unveiled big tax cuts to reignite the economy. Cuba is charging people who are going to private enterprise 50% income tax. That's about what top earners pay in America today between federal and state taxes, about the same as Cuba. Can you believe this, Beowulf?
Unbelievable. It was amazing, too, is that they're moving in the other direction, and Obama is moving to increase it. They're moving to decrease it.
Yes, everything that the communists have tried has failed, and they're moving to privatize. And yet this throwback amateur hour, Obama, is going in the direction of Cuba or Venezuela. Can't somebody stop him, Beowulf? Why? Why? Because the FBI doesn't exist? Have they been nullified?
Yeah. They're Something's controlled wrong. By someone, that's for sure.
Something's wrong here. Where are the watchdogs for us?
Yeah, and who watches the watchdogs?
I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Now, hike in premiums in Connecticut. Up to 47 to 49% raise in premiums. Did you hear this? State has given an Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield a go-ahead to raise premiums by as much as 47% for some members. And they say health care reform is the reason why. Duh! Oh, you didn't understand that? They say that costs have risen because of healthcare legislation. Shall I spell it out for you? Well, let's see if you can figure it out. You want to try to figure it out together? Or is the extent of your education limited? You don't get it yet? Well, let's start with this. Costs for health insurance is going up because costs for insurance companies have risen because they're now mandated to provide coverage for students to age 26. Students, you hear? A 26-year-old drug addict in the house or a sex maniac goes out to a club all night long and comes home and lays in the bed
and goes on the internet and Twitters in the morning, and she says she's looking for a career. You hear this? And to top it off, the companies can no longer deny coverage to anyone for pre-existing conditions. How do you like that one? So you have a car wreck, let's say. You've been in one collision after another all your life. You're a drunk driver, but you want insurance now. Now, what insurer on earth would give you insurance if you're a drunk driver and you were just in a head-on collision? Nobody. But Nancy Pelosi now said, you putz, that's why your premium is going up. You're getting what you deserved. I, in my book, yes, I'm going to bring it back to the book because I have a little time to do this. By the way, this book was dedicated to all of the men who gave their lives that we may have the freedom to write and read as we please. I hope you saw the dedication. This is dedicated to all of the men who gave their lives that we may have the freedom to write and read as we please. I hope you got that, Nancy. In the chapter, here's a headline, A Bad Prescription for America. We know about the expansion of the IRS. We know that. But one of those programs that you don't know about that Obama snuck in there is the most worrisome. It could be the private army that he wanted during the campaign that was quickly hushed up. Guys, do you have the private army speech?
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Do you have any idea what he just said? He wants his own SA. He wants his own brown shirts. He wants his men appointed by him who are armed to control us. Don't you understand who the man is? We try to warn you. I said to you, this is fascism, but you didn't listen to me. You let the vermin in the media castigate me, not him. You let the vermin in the media tell you I was the bad guy, not him. You let the vermin in the media let him get away with that one. A bad prescription for America. So let me read it to you. Okay? One of those programs that he is doing, page 119, is beefing up the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps. Most people have never heard of the Commissioned Corps, which has been around for years. The government describes the Corps as an elite team of more than 6,000 full-time, well-trained, highly qualified public health professionals dedicated to delivering the nation's public health promotion. Okay? So I ask this question. Obamacare expands the existing Commissioned Corps with the creation of a Ready Reserve Corps to be mobilized for service in time of national emergency. I ask, who's to say what qualifies as a national emergency? Answer, the president. The bill does not specify that detail, so draw your own conclusions. What's more, Fidel Obama has set himself up as the one who handpicks the officers of this Ready Reserve Corps. This is unbelievable. Section 2033 of H.R. 3590 states this. Commissioned officers of the Ready Reserve Corps shall be appointed by the president. Emphasis added, it's on page 120 in my book. It gets worse. This new arm of the government includes warrant officers, and Section 203 goes on to state that members of the Ready Reserve Corps must be, quote, available and ready for involuntary calls to active duty during national emergencies and public health crises. You might want to read that again. President Obama appoints officers for this new Ready Reserve Corps, whose membership may be involuntarily called into duty for a yet-to-be-defined so-called national emergency. Now, to be redundant, we already have the military, the FBI, the Secret Service, state troopers, and county and local police. What is Obama doing with a Ready Reserve Corps? What is it really about? Let's connect the dots. Page 120 of Trickle Up Poverty. As I documented in Chapter 1 on July 2, 2008 in Colorado Springs, Colorado, then-presidential wannabe Obama said something alarming, which was completely ignored by most of the major media. He proclaimed, play it again, Sam. Play it.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
I'm chilled to my bone when I read this to you because you think it's all a joke. You think that this is just about selling a book or getting ratings. You don't even understand what you're living through. You're living through a communist takeover of the United States of America. I'm going to read the rest of this paragraph. I must ask the difficult question. Is the formation of a Ready Reserve Corps the first step in the establishment of Obama's private national security force? It certainly appears as though Obama laid the groundwork for his version of the brown shirts. Where's the outcry from the civil libertarians? Why does the ACLU remain silent? I thought they opposed layers of government regulations and bureaucracy meddling in our personal affairs. Okay? Maybe the ACLU is too busy calling on the president to grant the 911 terrorist civilian trials rather than more appropriately face a military commission. The silence on this potential threat is deafening. That's under the Obamacare chapter, what's really in the bill, in trickle-up poverty. So I wake up and I say, how am I going to cover this for my audience in a way that would make what may be of any interest to them without talking about him? So I said, let me begin by doing some work on the president who fired Juan William, Vivian Schiller. Vivian Schiller joined NPR as president and CEO in January of 2009. If you can believe it, this harridan runs NPR's network around the entire country and is the head of the worldwide media operations for this communist front group. Now, who is she? Well, let's start with where she worked before NPR, because no one's covered this. Not even the geniuses at Fox did this, because they're hiding it, too. Prior to joining NPR, Vivian Schiller worked at the New York Times as senior VP and GM of the New York Times website, NewYorkTimes.com, the liberal NewYorkTimes.com. What did she do before the NewYorkTimes.com? This left-wing harridan worked before the NYT at CNN. She was the senior VP of CNN Productions, where she read CNN's long-form programming efforts, including left-wing documentaries, anti-Israel hit pieces, anti-military, anti-American pieces. So she won awards for that, all left-wing awards. And what did Ms. Schiller do before that? Well, before CNN, before the New York Times, before NPR, before this scandal, Schiller began her career as a simultaneous Russian interpreter in the former Soviet Union, which led her to documentary production work for Ted Turner. Now, what did she do before that? Well, Schiller graduated from Cornell University with a bachelor's in Russian studies and Soviet studies and a master's in Russian from Middlebury College. So let's trace the arc from Juan Williams to the Soviet Union. We got a Russian student, let's say, or a Russian operative, in some way, or let us say someone who is sympathetic to the ex-Soviet Union's policies, because that's how I see it. She goes from there, she goes to Turner Broadcasting, because as you well know, Ted Turner is a lifetime internationalist. She goes from Turner to CNN, she goes from CNN to the NYT, she goes from NYT to NPR, and now the whole world sees the face, the ugly face, the hideous face, the deformed face of NPR and left-wing fascism. I'll be right back.
Savage. Du hast mich. Du hast mich. Du hast mich.
Savage Nation, heavy metal. This is not Der Spiegel. This is Herr Rammstein. Herr Rammstein. Herr Rammstein. Headbangers. The only ones who could save the world are the people who are castigated and hated by the middle class who run the media. The outlaw can save America. The cast out. Yeah. Only the outlaw can save America. That's right. The team player is worthless. The guys who get along and go along, forget about it. Worthless. Only the outlaw can save America. Only the outlying statistic tells us the truth. In these days, only the outlying statistic tells us the truth. Oh, is the phone live now? I thought I was just listening to music and thinking out loud. Well, I'm trying to, like, cool her down. I feel like I'm on Highway 80 coming down from the High Sierra, and there are, like, truck runs on the side. You know, like, what do they call those things? Well, like, when your brakes fail, and there's, like, sand gravel on the side of the road where you pull into if your brakes fail. What are those things called, Beowulf? They never had them in the East Coast. Truck? Well, but there's a name for them. I still can't understand how if a big rig blows out his brakes coming down off the High Sierra, you're coming off 7,000 feet and you're going down near a sea level coming down off the mountain. You're running 70 miles an hour in a big rig. What happens if your brakes fail? You're supposed to like pull off into one of these sand grab. How does it stop you? I don't get it. I mean, are they designed to absorb the tires? People don't realize how important highway engineering really is. We take it for granted. It's amazing to me. Anyway, I just feel like I needed a gravel pit here on the Savage Nation in order to slow down because I was coming down off a high peak and I was going too fast, to be honest with you. On MichaelSavage.com now, there's an incredible review, if I must say so myself, by Dakota Voice saying trickle-up poverty is essential reading. Gina Miller says, if you are one who has become burned out on the glut of conservative books out there, let me assure you, this is not your garden variety conservative cheerleader rah-rah book. Harry Reid aide lied to feds about sham marriage to Lebanese man that protected immigration status. Take a look on MichaelSavage.com. Lebanese man who has now since fled the country. The aide of Harry Reid married a Lebanese national who was the subject of an Oklahoma City Joint Terror Task Force investigation, Beowulf.
I thought all the terrorists looked like the Oklahoma City bomber. That's strange.
The Obama and Cuba tax private law, excuse me, the Obama administration and the Cuban administration are taxing the private sector at 50%, the same with federal state taxes in the U.S. Chavez orders expropriation of U.S. company in Venezuela. The left-wing leader said the American company had been taking away the money of Venezuelans and exploiting local people. Sounds like San Francisco, huh?
Eminent domain.
General Electric pressuring England to permit a continued flood of illegal immigrants. The debt is up $5 trillion since Pelosi vowed no new deficit spending. 1-800-449-8255, MichaelSavage.com. Let's go to the bottom of the website. It's a must-see. The Ted Nugent review of Michael Savage's book is incredible. Read it. The federal agents around the country, Fed agents around the country, are eyeing a murder trial of an ATF agent. Read that story. A crocodile on a plane killed 19 passengers. He escaped from a passenger's bag, sparking a stampede that caused the plane to crash, including the British pilot. How's that for third world sensitivities, taking a crocodile on a plane?
Jesus.
And speaking of illegal aliens, Paris is flooded with them. A family of 12 African moochers on welfare leapt from their second-floor balcony in Paris, claiming they were fleeing the devil. And their baby died in the jump. Very sad story, huh? Here's some good news out of London. Animal activists who launched a smear campaign against laboratories and scientists have been put in jail. They have nose rings, lip rings, eye rings, your rings, my rings, but no brains. Bees' tiny brains beat computers in a latest study. Bees can solve complex mathematical problems which keep computers busy for days. Research has shown. Well, I think they should be registered to vote Democrat. Those are some of the stories on MichaelSavage.com that I would recommend that you take a close look at. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan and what's going on in the White House, but with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at Carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE.
Once again, we have the power. You know, we got this man in office. I think we're all proud of Barack and his accomplishments. Everybody I know in our communities are praying for us. Every day we feel that, and let me just tell your listeners that it means all the world to us to know that there are prayer circles out there and people who are keeping the spirits clean around us.
Keeping the spirits clean around us. I'm speechless, and I'm in the business of talking. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Can a listener to the Savage Nation please rescue me and tell me what the First Lady means by prayer circles around America, keeping the spirits clean around us? Is that something I should understand that I missed in college? I don't understand that one. I don't mean to be rude in any manner, but I have no idea what that means.
If they're going to invoke witchcraft in the White House next, I'd like to know about it so that I can prepare by jumping aboard a spaceship and taking a flight to the Catskill Mountains, where I can get a sandwich of a borscht and shove before the high holidays next year. If I don't get there on time, then I'll drink a glass of seltzer and slide on some linoleum back to the Bronx in the 1940s, where I can sit with my grandmother and speak in Russian and find out what happened during the Russian Revolution that drove us to a stage where we wind up with an overt Marxist in the White House who needs crop circles instead of prayer circles in order to help him raise the crops so that we can avoid the kulak situation of the Soviet Union. Very good, Michael. 1 out of 10,000 got that little drift, that little fun opening. Did Phil, did you enjoy it, Beowulf? I did it for your entertainment. I was just speaking in tongues, because if this woman's talking about keeping our spirits clean, I may as well get into the other side of my being, which is the mystical, magical side of the Michael Savage Show. You know what I'm saying? Man is magical, woman mystical. You want me to go into that one? I'll be glad to do that as well. Savage.